Chodesh Tov, everyone. It's Thursday, Wednesday, right? So let's talk a little Chassidus. Okay? So the beginning of Parshas Chukas begins with a very famous Rashi, but when you look at it more carefully, it seems a little bit disjointed. Zos Chukas HaTorah, Par Aduma is the quintessential Chok. And the Torah says the nations and the Satan are going to jeer and sneer at you. Because there's no reason. It's paraduma. It seems like voodoo. It seems like hocus pocus. Ashes, water, sprinkling. There's no way to make sense of it. How does it remove the tuma that comes from death? So just be prepared. People are going to laugh at you. Now what should the continuation of the Rashi say? Here's what you tell them. You don't really understand it. Here's the real reason. But what does Hashem say in the Medrash? Lefikach, ein lecha rishus l'harach harach. So therefore you can't think about it. Well, that'll just make it worse, right? That'll just invite more sneering and more snickering, right? If Hashem says, they're going to make fun of you, but here's the real logic that they just can't grasp. So if you explain it to them, then you'll defeat all of their cynicism and their sarcasm and their disbelief. But it's a vicious cycle. They're going to make fun of you, therefore, you don't have the reshus to think about it. At best, what Rashi should say is they should make fun of you, but that's not really the... You know, don't try to engage them. Ein lecha reshus lahara, because I'm not going to give you the answer. If you don't engage them, they make fun of you. Put up a brick wall. Don't answer them. Walk the other way. Just ignore them. But it sounds as if you are engaging them. And how are you engaging them? And how are you solving their challenge? By not thinking about it. Ein lecha reshus. So you're not really solving the problem. You're just exacerbating the problem. Unless, of course, you're a chassid. Because in chassidus, logic is less effective than higher truths. And the question is, how do you get to those higher truths? And that's what we'll talk about today. But this is a thesis of Chassidus. And this is why so many people don't understand Chassidus, if you're on the outside. And this is why Chassidus is so appealing to so many people today, if you're on the inside. Because it creates a different path to achieve knowledge and truth. When I ask you, go discover something, you say, okay, I'm going to discover something. I'm going to open a book. I'm going to use my mind. I'm going to collect information, and those are the truths I'm going to discover. What we know in life is that's just one pathway to discovering truth. There are other methods and other methodologies to discovering truth that Chassidus uncovers, and that are on display in Parshas Chukas, and that's what Hashem's saying. Don't ignore the answer or the reason, because you want to respond to these jeerers and these cynics, but don't think the reason is going to come through here. Don't think that after they sneer at you, you'll go sit in a corner, find the right sefer, say, I'll get back to you, come the next day to your friend the guy, and says, by the way, Tunis Ruffles, my friend the guy, I've got an answer for you, which I just cracked through my own logic. That's not going to work. So the question is, how will you? So two and a half ways, maybe we'll discuss two, because remember, the Sfas Emes picks four or five topics each year and goes back and heightens them and amplifies them and develops them. It's fascinating to see the development over 40 years. And he picks four, five, six topics, no more. So you see each year he visits those same issues and he develops them as he grows older and as his ideas change. And it's fascinating to see. Maybe try that. You're young, so try this year. Every week pick one topic in the Parsha. Write a little paragraph to yourself, whatever, how it strikes you, a Ramban, a Rashi, and then keep that in some cloud. And then next year, go back and say, let me rethink this. Because that will keep you engrossed and anchored to Torah. There's some Rashis. Like, there's a Rashi in this week's Parsha. I don't have time to discuss it. I've been wrestling with it for about 20 years. I still don't get it. Every year I know that Parsha's Chukas. I'm going to rethink about it. I'll try harder. Sometimes I make progress. Sometimes I don't make progress. But Torah is living. It's a living organism. And Torah has to be something which is long-term. When the Torah says, I say Torah's Chakeva, you should make your Torah. Keva means... Well, when you go to medical school one day, when you go to engineering school, you're going to try to listen and absorb it because this is something you're going to be practicing for 50, 60 years of your life. So Torah should be the same way. Now I'm in, I'm out, I'm learning, I'll put it on a shelf. But this is something I want a long-term engagement with. I'm going to constantly work at and return to. Hadron Allah, Masechas, Yevamos. We'll see it soon. There's the Shem, those who are learning Daf Yomi. Anyway, so what are the solutions? So one solution is specifically what it says in Rashi. When you accept something, through emunah pshuta, blind obedience, illogical submission, just accepting, ein lecha reshus laharer, that's the methodology, because then you suppress your own ego, you suppress your own self-confidence, you suppress your own gashmius, And then you can attune yourself to higher truths in higher worlds that Hashem will deliver, which your ration-based ego will just hinder and block. So the more you think you know something, the less receptive you can be spiritually, metaphysically, to the delivery of some higher truth that may come from a different realm beyond the world of logic and cognition. So if I'm working, I'm trapped. I call logic a mind trap for people because we're so enchanted with logic, it becomes a prison. Logic, 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 and that's the only way I can prove truths. It's one way to prove truths. It's one way to achieve truth. So I'm just locked in the world of logic, which, by the way, plays to my ego because it's my logic. That's why I'm locked. That's why it's so attractive to people, because it's themselves. Hashem gave us logic, but we think it's ourselves. We think it's our identity. So then I'll be withheld, because this is a truth that obviously lies beyond logic. There's no way that logic can crack paraduma. Paraduma is an enigma wrapped in a riddle. No reason that ashes and water should remove impurity. Not only that, there's an enigma. People that confer purity, they become dumbass. Sometimes you see things that are irrational, but there's a system to the irrationality. Sometimes you're meeting something which is irrational, but it's also random. So it's not just consistent irrationality, it's random irrationality. So there's no way that logic can break through those two problems. It doesn't make sense, and even it doesn't possess internal logic. Like you see someone, doesn't make sense, someone who, I don't know, bipolar or something. So there's no, it's not a logical way to live your life. It's not the logical functioning. But there's a system to the bipolarity. And the clinicians can then detect the system and try to predict and try to regulate. But what happens when it's completely random? Then there's no internal system to the chaos. And there's no internal system to the chaos, and it's completely, completely unmanageable. So paraduma presents both. There's no logic to it, but even in itself, it's not just irrational, but it's inconsistent. Because it's ironic. It's counterintuitive. Conferring reduces tumah. So you just suspend your logic, then you'll be able to reach those truths. So when Hashem says in the Rashi, they're going to make fun of you, don't think about it. It's not don't think about it and run away. Don't think about it. You'll get a higher truth. Then you go back and say, hey, here's the reason. The reason is, but I didn't get to it through logic. So Hashem's not saying run away. Hashem's saying, here's the way you'll find the truth that you can then, at least to yourself, possibly to them, quiet their cynicism, quiet their sarcasm. Another way is the next word in the pasuk, v'yikhu elecha. Hashem is speaking to Moshe, saying that will take for you. Now, this is also something in Hasidus that people just don't understand. Another way to achieve higher truths, okay, let's take it outside of the world of Hasidus, then it'll apply to the world of Hasidus. I'm not a Hasid practicing. I mean, I believe deeply in some of the concepts that changed my life, but it's not the center of my gravity. The center of my gravity is not Hasidus. But yet I submit to higher truths that other people deliver to me. So my faith is not just based on the truths that I've ironed out through the years, but it's based on what I've received, the traditions from my parents and from the people before them, from my Rebbeim and the people before them. So I'm willing to connect to higher truths to other people who are the delivery mechanisms, because I trust their ability to achieve truth and to deliver truth better than I trust my own intuition. So that's called emuna in the Masara. Now, if you take that structure to Hasidus, because Hasidus isn't that, some things are new, but some things are just restating our experience, but in Kabbalistic terms. I listen, let's say, to Rav Lichtenstein because I found his statements logically and experientially compelling. I'll listen to a tzaddik, the Rebbe, not because necessarily every statement he makes is so much more logically compelling to me when I think about it, the way, let's say, my experience with Rav Lichtenstein was, because I believe that he has a metaphysical connection to higher worlds that can create a conduit for me to those truths. And that's why it's genealogical. It's nothing to do with how smart you are and how well you learn Tosis. It's if you're genealogically placed in the great chain of being and you have that connection to an upper world, then through the tzaddik, I can connect to those truths that I can't get through in my own mind. And that's called hispatlus to the tzaddik. And that's why if I eat, a lot of people don't get that, I eat the fish that the tzaddik touched, oh, it's voodoo, it's hocus pocus. No, this is my way of clinging to the tzaddik. And by clinging to the tzaddik, I'll then access truths that are streamed through him and his cosmic function, his cosmic role, and I'll get those truths. V'yikhu elecha, take them to you. Hashem is talking to Moshe. The yikhu, take them, elecha. Let them bispatel themselves to you, and by being bispatel themselves to you, then they'll achieve those higher truths that logic can't penetrate. So these are two solutions. This is another solution, but we'll hold off on that for a moment. It's a fascinating read in Rashi. They'll make fun of you. Don't think about it. Doesn't mean don't think about it, run away and immunize yourself. Say, I'm not going to be shaken by your cynicism and sarcasm. Don't think about it, and that's the way you'll get an answer. And you can return to them and say, here's your answer. Well, how'd you get that answer? You know how I got that answer? By submitting my own ego and believing in something simply. It's called the Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Peshitta, I talked about this last week in the Chog, the balance between critical thinking and just blind acceptance of ideas and excitement of ideas. Emunah Peshitta means I suppress my own critical thinking and just accept something on face value as it is. Blind obedience because I trust that there's something beyond me that I'm willing to submit to. Second approach is parallel. I don't just trust in an idea that I submit to. I trust in a person who has a function in the cosmic reality. In the cosmic reality, there are worlds beyond mine. How do I access truths that come from those worlds? I need a ladder. And a tzaddik is a ladder. There's no other way I can get out of my own little world, which is one of many, many, many worlds, and get to the truths that will strengthen me from those worlds. So that's one interesting, prototypical Hasidic discussion in Parshas Chukas and the Sfas Emes. Another prototypical Hasidic discussion is where Am Yisrael is praising the Be'er. And listen to how they praise the Be'er. Be'er, the well, let's assume right now it's Miriam's well. Be'er, Chafaruah Sarim, which was dug by Sarim, Karuha Nedive Ha'am. Now there's a contrast here. This is a really important contrast for Hasidus between the Sarim and the Nedivayam. And they're digging. And digging means you're uncovering something deeper, water that lies beneath the surface. That's what Hasidus is about. Uncovering the essence of Hashem, the presence of Kedusha, what is called as Ha'ara Penimis. Ha'ara with an Aleph. The inner light, because Hashem is ubiquitous. Hashem is omnipresent. So, right, we believe Hashem created the world, and I try to find Him through Torah Mitzvos. Kabbalah says Hashem created the world, and His presence suffuses the world, and I can just uncover Him within everything, within Torah and Mitzvos, and within every experience, within every material, within every moment I can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu by just uncovering the casing being the klipos that cover Hashem's presence. So digging is an iconic activity in Hasidus, because it parallels the act of religion. It's why Parshas told us where Yitzchak digs. There's some digging that takes place. This is an important Parsha because it's a digging Parsha. And in digging, so who's going to dig and best uncover HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence that's concealed by a world that seems to be physical but is really sustained by Hashem's essence and presence on a constant minute-by-minute basis on the Secha Shabbalais. So on the one hand, you have the Sarim. The Sarim are the established people, the people that can control their ego. Moshlim B'Yitzchak, he quotes the Medrash in Bavar Basra. In the end of the Parsha, Al-Kain Yamru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbon. I'll talk about this tonight, Mirtz Hashem. I have a wedding, but we'll see if we can fit it in. Al-Kain Yamru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbon. People who are Moshel B'Yitzchak. So a Tsar is not just a political, a diplomatic leader, aristocrat, but it's a moral hero. Someone who's a Tsar, right? There's an old English expression, he who can control himself should control others. The inverse is a lot of people try to control others when they can't control themselves. So first, make sure you've got your own affairs in order. Make sure you can control your own estate, your own needs, your own passions, your own desires, your own pettiness, your own anger. Some people try to control other people. They can't control themselves. There's, of course, displacement. You can't control yourself. You try to control other people. So those are the established, religiously successful people. Who are the Nedivei Am? Amcha. We just said it. We just said it in Hallel. Nedivei Am, right? For beginning of Hallel, right? Who are the Nedivei Am? People are just, they're not accomplished. They just want it so badly. The Ratzo. Nedivei Lev. People in the Div whose hearts are alive with desire. And they may not be as successful in practice as the Sarim. This is Chassidus 101. Because Chassidus was an attempt to restore confidence amongst people who couldn't always, at least on the surface, succeed in Torah learning, who weren't accomplished, established Rabbanim, sitting in the base matters, should everyone recognize that their religious performance was stellar. But what does Hashem really care about? Not how well you operate, but how deeply you want something. How deep is your tshuka? How deep is your ratzon? How deep is your desire? So yeah, you can be a tsar, but you could also be a nedivayam. And a nedivayam, they're able to dig deeper. Here's the catch, because they're more grounded in this world. And if you're more grounded in this world, you can more successfully uncover Hashem's presence in this world. Because the tzaddikim, the classic tzaddikim, not the chassidish tzaddikim, who were grounded, but the classic tzaddikim, they become too detached from this world. They become too ivory tower. They become too distant. And the average Pashat Yid, or the chassidish Rebbe, who is part of the average Pashat Yid syndrome, Pashat Yid condition, he can have the second digging. So that's why the Sar is the Er Chafaruah Sarim. But the Nedivei Am are Karuha, Kriya, Kuf, Kaf Resh Yud Yud Hey is always a deeper level of digging than the Chafira. Ki Yach Bo Ishbar V'Chiyichra Ishbar in Parshas Mishpatim. Ki Yichra is a deeper Kriya, not Ki Yach Bo Ki. Kriya is deeper than Ki Yiftach Ishbar V'Chiyichra Ishbar. So Kriya is deeper. So the Sarim, they are able to dig. But the Nedi Ve'am, because they're grounded in this world and digging is meant to uncover Hashem's presence in worldly affairs, they're able to dig deeper. Be'er chafaru asarim karu Nedi Ve'am, and that's why Moshe had to be replaced. Moshe isn't punished. He's being replaced in Parshas Chukas. It's a holistic reading of Chukas because he's just the profile of the old tzaddik, and that's not correct for Generation X. Is that correct for people who are sinners, as we see in Chukas, but their desire is still there? And Moshe is too distant from, not just distant politically from people high and mighty, unreachable. He's too distant from the affairs of this world. He's too spiritual. He's too transcendent. And we need a type of leader, presumably Yeshua, to be more grounded. So these are two classic Hasidic dramas or narratives that are latent in Chukas. One is illogic versus logic. Ways to discover truth, not just through mental analysis. Two is digging and finding the presence of Hashem, an act that ironically is more successfully executed by people that are more grounded in this earth, who may not be as successful religiously, but have a deep desire to be successful religiously and able to undig and uncover. Okay? Tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, Rashi. Okay. Have a Chodesh Tov, everyone.